On this episode of Bear Podcast,
an interview with Kendall Kelly.
Top 2014 fall movies.
That pesky Peter Pan syndrome.
10 awesome Google features you should be using.
Size does matter, says the judge.
Yes, and all of this and more coming up next.
Bear Podcast 533.
Hey, all you bears!
He's texting to bump into Big Hairy Man.
So scientists may have finally solved the puzzle of what makes a person gay.
Well, I'm not taking you to get some scrub there fix it for you.
Can I do the podcast in my underwear?
Gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
It's one of those things that is funny, cute, white, has
two glasses of wine.
He's a lightweight, so it don't take much.
You're listening to BearPodcast.com.
Okay, fine. You really have to.
Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I'm Ray.
And welcome to episode 533, and it's August 26th on a Tuesday. Wow, it's been a very busy week for me again. How about you, Ray?
Busy week for me, too.
So. Actually, the weekend was really fun because I got to eat at different restaurants. I went to a Mediterranean restaurant. You know, at Montrose, there's this restaurant called Aladdin.
Yes.
Have you been there before?
Yes, numerous times. It's great.
It's great.
If you like that? Wait, you go try Demasi's out.
Oh, yeah. I've done Demasi's before. I've tried Demasi's before. But then, I don't know, there's something really, you know.
Or did you go to Cafe Caspian? What is that for?
Yes, I think I did one time. Okay, so we were just talking about food. I went to Aladdin. It's in Montrose area. It's in the gay area of Houston. So Aladdin, I didn't know it was that good. I mean, it was really good.
Yeah. It's a pretty good place.
And how much for $12? I think it's lots of food. And you can pretty much, you know, I think if you can bring home half of it, yeah, it would be worth it, you know. Even if you spend about $12-$13. It'd be good. Anyway, so that's what I did yesterday. And have you heard of the movie what did we watch? Oh, there's a movie called Boyhood. Have you heard of that?
It's the one about the kid that was the kid being filmed for 12 years
yes.
when he was growing up. Yes, did you watch that?
I saw that last weekend. It was really good. It was really good. And the story is good, but it makes you wonder, how long will this take? I mean, they waited for him to grow up until he was 18 or something like that.
So, 17 or 18, yeah. But, and the same cast did it year after year. They come back and repeat it every year older, which I think is an interesting concept that somebody took those 9 or 10 years for this kid to grow up. And followed him and wrote a story like that. Because you said they try to fake it with different actors, but in this case, they did it all the way through.
They used the same actor. So what's good about it, well, first is I'm amazed how they planned it. They planned it for 12 years. The second is they're really lucky that everybody's either alive or didn't leave the country or they didn't have to recast, that they used the same people.
Yeah.
So
12 years is a commitment.
Yeah, 12 years for a film to be
a commitment. Like 12 years a slave. That's a long time.
That's right. How about you, Ray? What have you been up to?
Not much. You know, just another weekend.
It's another weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I do have a question out there for all our listeners. A future topic I'd like to talk about is called homesteading and living off grid.
Oh, okay.
And I want to know if there are any gays out there that listen to this show that are homesteading or living off the grid in some way. And by homesteading, I mean raising all your own food, farming. By living off grid, you do solar power, wind power, harvest rainwater, stuff like that, as far as a way of not having to pay for water or not having to be on tied to a grid somewhere any of that stuff. Because I think that would be an interesting show to have. Because I've been really interested in looking at going back to homesteading and living off the grid after the last couple of years.
Can you do that, Ray?
Well, I don't think I can do it as hardcore as some of the people that I've watched the blogs for, that I've been watching the last, the last 4 or 5 months. I've been researching it some. But I do think I can do a good mixture of the two.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Like, you can do that by just staying home.
Well, no, I'm still tied to the grid. I still have to go buy most of my groceries.
So you could actually hunt.
Hunt,
plant something.
Have a garden.
Have a garden yourself.
You know, have a year-round garden. Plant, hunt, you know.
But then you have a camera.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that you're giving up technology.
It's just that you're off
the grid. It's just that you're off the grid. And it's kind of, you know, the weird thing is looking at some of these videos, some people are going on a spiritual journey on some of this stuff, like the Masa thing that I showed you this weekend that we looked at. I think that was seriously him trying to figure his life out.
Yeah.
Because he did this, and I think he just needed that big of a change to figure out what he was doing. Yeah. So, which was interesting.
Yeah.
And I wished he would have continued it. I wish there was more past that year that he did. But
yeah. You know, Ray's talking about a video blog, and it's by Masa. He's a Japanese guy in Canada, and he lived off the grid or something.
And he's still living off the grid for now, because I think the videos are from like 3 years ago.
Yeah,
but it's called Masa Offline, so go check it out. I mean, you have to. I'd watch them in order because it's very interesting to see the progression.
Yeah, you can see his beard, how it grows.
His beard grows, but you know the journey he goes through of completely walking away from society, moving out to the small remote island in Canada, building a cabin out in the woods that he's got a handshake deal with. The guy said he can build a cabin and live there for 5 years, and then him building the cabin. Foraging for herself, buying his food, all that versus what, you know, having a life and being connected to the stuff. But
you know what? I've always thought about that myself. Like, you know, just sell your property, sell everything, or put everything in storage and just take off. Get a backpack and go to West Virginia or something or Kentucky or somewhere and just be off the grid. Maybe a phone call here and there to friends, but just traveling and not necessarily worrying anything for anything, but just go. Just
go.
Just travel.
And that's what a lot of these people do. Now, some of these people that I've noticed are a little, what I consider a little on the crazy side, and it's not, and I'm trying not to judge them or anything, but they're like planning for the end of the world, which there's nothing wrong for that, because the shit could hit the fan at any moment. Trust me. I'm a fair believer of a zombie apocalypse is happening, so I do not begrudge them at all, but some of them take it a little to the extreme stuff. But, you know, it'd be interesting to talk about where the happy balance is, because one of the videos I watched is a guy in California who built a house 20-something years ago, and him and his wife were trying to be a hippies back in their late 60s, early 70s, and they thought they were doing the hippie thing by buying this property up in Northern California and living on it in a barn and stuff. So he was a programmer, and he finally got fed up with Silicon Valley and said, screw you, and went up there and built him a house and lived totally off the grid, pretty much. I mean, he creates his own water, his own power, heats all this stuff, grows pretty much most of his food and stuff. And it was interesting watching him talk about stuff he did and everything. But the deal is looking for somebody that's got a good balance of knowing how we used to live, which, you know, a lot of the people, I know there's a bunch of videos about Amish living.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of off-grid living, but the people
didn't Vanilla Ice do that? At some point?
He's Amish building. He's doing building Amish buildings now. Don't even get me started. But the whole deal is finding that balance between life and harmony and living with technology. Mm-hmm. Because for me, one of the things that have really been plaguing me the last 5 years is financial situation, because I got myself in a bunch of debt and I've been digging myself out the last 5 years.
Okay.
But one of the things about that is digging out, staying out, and becoming, I guess, kind of self-sustainable. So if Hurricane Tina rolls through Houston, I'm off grid enough and can survive. So I don't have to have a generator. I don't have to do this and still live. You know, and I've seen extremes of both where this family, they just wanted to change their lives and live off grid. And they went and spent all this money and built a cabin and did all that stuff. But they never talked about, well, we're 30 miles from town and the closest grocery store. How do we, out in the middle of the winter that we can't even get out of our cabin some days? Are we going to grow our own food or whatever? But it only covered like a year in their life. So most of that was getting to the farm and stuff. But if any of y'all live off grid or homestead,
or you know someone that's off the grid,
or know somebody that's like that, it'd be interesting to talk about it.
Yeah.
Whether extreme they are, it'd be cool if we got somebody that's the real extreme survivalist to the people that's like, look, I'm looking for balance in my life, you know. And
I don't know. I think
so.
I don't know if I can do that, but I fantasize.
I mean, the biggest thing, one of the videos I watched, the guy said, I am weak. I cannot live without air conditioning. And I can totally relate to that, because I don't know if I could deal without air conditioning myself.
Right to you, Motel 6 is camping.
Well, yeah, but I joke about that a lot, because at one time I was in that mindset that I didn't want to go out and rough it. And I'm not as much opposed to that anymore. My main thing is, as long as I can take a shower every day, I'm fine.
Really?
I gotta be able to bathe.
That's your.
I gotta be able to have a nice, clean, hot shower. That's your criteria
in life, is to shower every day.
That's one of my must haves.
Because it has water, you can drink if you want to.
Yeah, but I gotta be able to take a hot shower every day. Oh, God. Gotta have coffee some way. But other than that, I can work with it, I think. I think the situation can be handled. So like I said, email us at show@bearpodcast if you know anybody or anybody's interested in talking about this subject that's doing it. Or give us a call at our voicemail line at 206-222-2327. Leave us a voicemail, how to get in contact with you, and we'll talk about setting up a show down the line. And I'll keep mentioning this for the rest, probably all the way through.
We want to know how you live off the grid.
Because, you know, I typed in gay homesteading. And nothing really pulled up. And I know there's some lesbians out there somewhere, or some friends that's got lesbians out homesteading, because on some of these shows, there were lesbian couples, but they never showed any gay male couples. And I don't know if that says something because we're too lazy, or we're just too...
We like clubbing.
We like clubbing too much.
Oh, we have a topic about that later. Yes, coming up. My God. So,
or, like Kendall said the other night when we were interviewing him, I'm going through my midlife crisis. We'll figure it out. But we'll figure it out together. So.
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of Kendall... We have an interview with Kendall. He was here for a weekend, I guess. Yeah, he was here last week, and we hung out. We ate at Jenny's Noodle House. It's very nice of him to, you know, to hang out with us. And here is our interview with Kendall. We talk about his album, Manifest Destiny. Welcome to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
I'm Ray.
And joining us today is Kendall.
Hi.
Hey. This time in the flesh. Aww. We always have Kendall on the show, on the phone or on Skype and everything.
Oh, I know, right.
But this time, it's in the flesh right now. That's right.
That's awesome. Thank you for the, what kind of food is this again? What is this considered?
It's a fusion of Thai and Chinese. It's Jenny's Noodle House.
Jenny's, yeah.
Yeah, we're awesome. On location. As you can see, if you're looking, there's a ninja behind Kendall here right now. There's okay. A ninja. That's right. Yeah. So you're here in Houston. How long are you going to be here?
Oh, just till Monday. Yeah, but I mean, I'm moving to Austin officially on Monday. So,
you're officially living in Austin, Texas.
Yes, I'm very excited.
First Facebook posted.
Yes, that's right.
It's just finally came out with that. Yeah.
He finally came out after all these years.
Nobody knew. Who'd have known?
That's right.
So butch, yeah.
So, okay, what made you do the move to Texas?
Well, I mean, it wasn't so much about moving. It was about stopping.
Stopping? Okay. You just want to keep moving.
The oppressive heat he likes. Yeah.
Exactly. I do, though. Honestly, I'd rather have the oppressive heat than the oppressive snow and gray skies.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Because with heat, you can take off your clothes. It's easier. It's nicer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's all about the sunlight. You know what I mean? For me, like having gone through depression and stuff, like everyone in Buffalo is depressed. I mean, you know what I mean? That's just the way it is. Because, you know, you can do nothing but eat and sleep for half the year. So, it's depressing. Yeah.
So, what are your plans in Austin? Because, you know, Austin is very rich in music and stuff like that. So... I guess you're going to be doing some more performances there.
Oh, hell yeah. Like, I mean, that's a huge reason why I stopped here, because I was supposed to move to San Diego, but then I got to Texas, and my friend in Dallas was like, oh, you should just stay here, because it's between both coasts. And I said, you mean Texas? He was like, no, Dallas. And I was like, I don't know about Dallas. How about Houston? And he's like... With Dallitude, he was like, no, it's disgusting there. It's gross in Houston. And other people there told me the same thing. But then I was like, wait, there's an alternative. There's Austin. So let me look into that. So I just stopped there and talked to some people and was like, wait a second. Mm-hmm. This is it. You know what I mean? It's made a lot of sense for me because it's so open and, you know, just...
That's right.
Yeah.
So, Austin, okay, so you have a CD out.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Manifest Destiny. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's really the culminate. So at the beginning of, I did a tour of America, and it was...
I did America.
I did
the whole of America.
Not good enough because I don't have any CDs, so obviously I didn't do enough people or, you know... Somehow I got through without an STD. But, so I did this tour of America, and I thought I did, though, at one point. Oh, my God, it was at a few points. Uh-huh. But I took things for it. It's fine. But so I did this tour, and it was, you know, I wanted to do something different in the bear world because it is what it is. We all know what it is. You know, it's we're gay men. We love to have sex with other men. That's great. But I was like, hey, you know, this is a subculture that also sort of is a little bit conflicted because a lot of people don't really like their bodies, but they're attracted to other guys who don't like their bodies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So how about if we kind of like facilitate a space of, you know, being okay with your vulnerability and your body history and who you are. So the only way that I know how to do that is to tell my story. I don't know anyone else's story. I don't know anyone else's shit. So I had this thing that I developed, this show that I developed, and I just hit the road with it. Mm-hmm. And so my intent at the beginning, because Freddie Freeman turned to me at the beginning of the tour, he did a couple dates with me, and instead of me doing my whole show, I just did a few numbers, and then he would do a few numbers, and then, you know, Jonathan Arsenault would do a few numbers.
Uh-huh.
And I did a couple numbers, and you know me, I'm like changing outfits, and I'm goofy, and whatever. And I go around the corner. Yeah, and I go around the corner, and I hear Freddie Freeman say, I'm going to do this song now, and as I come out and sing this song, I'm going to touch each one of you and sing about the body. And I'm like, what a goofy motherfucker. Like, I'm around the corner thinking, this dude, like, him and his fucking new age bullshit, you know what I mean? Like, that's what Buzz was thinking. And so, like, when he was he knows. Trust me, he's heard me say this story a million times.
Yeah.
But, so, I came out around the corner when he was done. Everyone was naked. Everyone was glowing and smiling.
Nice.
And I was like, Kendall, fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, just, this is what you want to do. Why are you fighting this? You know? So I said, Freddie, that was awesome what you did out there. I said, it was just amazing. Like, I feel like an ass for thinking that. You know what I mean? And he said, don't. He said, what I did out there was just make an intention. And I told the audience about my intention. I followed through with it. He's like, you can't go on the road without an intention. He's like, what's your intention? I said, I don't know. I just want to be honest. And he goes, yeah. And I was like, oh, to be honest. Okay, so that's my intention. And I'm like, I kind of like the idea of the name Manifest Destiny because I'm referring to America. And I'm referring to the idea that your destiny is manifested by you and your intention. Now, my intention was to be honest. And so in the middle of the CD of putting it together, I was like, oh. And like you said, it was like bling.
Mm-hmm.
The actual, the epiphany is the CD.
Okay.
Like it just is the CD. You know what I mean? What I was going through, how I felt about things, that is the CD. So it's existential and stuff, but it also reflects, like let's say a superconscious or like a shared ego or conscious in America. So the term manifest destiny obviously is refers to America,
yeah.
But it also refers to the idea that we literally manifest our own destinies individually too, you know, as well and
yeah.
as a culture. So, yeah.
Did you work with Freddie on that?
A lot. We both worked on each other's CDs. We were in this teeny little room together and like right next to each other and like just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You sing this on mine. You sing this on mine. What does this bass sound like? Like just insanely close for a long time. And we both did some, you know, a lot of growth and
yeah.
helping. Yeah, it was good.
So shout out to Freddie, I guess.
Freddie. Listen to his CD, Raise It Up. It's amazing. It's an amazing spiritual CD.
Mm-hmm.
It really is great.
Wow.
Yeah.
So in Manifest Destiny, which one's the hardest, longest to make for you? One of the songs.
Well, the oldest song is something called Space Age, and it's
The Space Age.
Space
okay.
Age. Now I had some when I was younger, like about 20 years ago. I broke up with my ex, and he stabbed me, and then he took his own life. And this was, you know, obviously the big thing in my life that you know, big marker in my life. So right before that, I wrote Space Age, and it's a song about hope and about how, you know, we're in a place where we can heal each other and science can help us and whatever. And then I got stabbed, and 6 months later, I wrote this song called Rocket Scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very cold, and it's very, like, removed, and I'm in charge of things. I understand things. And so both of those songs, they're really, really, really old, but both of them are on the CD, and they were important for me because it shows a real distinct, you know, what happens before and after one of these markers in your life and your perspective and stuff like that. So those are both about 20 years old. Those two songs. Yeah.
20 years in the making.
Yeah.
And I got recorded now. Yeah. So now, where can our listeners and viewers get your CDs?
iTunes. Right now it's just digital. iTunes, Spotify is a good place to listen to it if you just want to listen.
Spotify? Okay.
Yeah, it's on pretty much all of it. I go through CD Baby to release my stuff, so you can go to CD Baby. They're partnered with almost everyone except Pandora and maybe one or two other things. But yeah, most of the streaming sites will have it on it. Okay. And then to buy it, you can go to iTunes or CD Baby.
All right. So yeah, check Kendall's music and CD Baby and iTunes and Spotify.
Yeah,
I sometimes use Spotify. Yeah.
Spotify, I love it. Yeah,
you get more hits on iTunes or where?
You know, Spotify. I just noticed that Spotify. I'm starting to get paid for. You know what I mean? It comes up in your summary of what you get paid for, and I get paid very little, but at least I get paid, and it shows me how many people are listening to it and stuff, and so that's cool. But yeah, most people download from iTunes for sure.
That's cool.
You know, and I always ask them, like, please, if you like it, like, please buy it, like, you know what I mean, support other artists, like I do that too. Like even like Daniel Cartier, if you know Daniel Cartier, like there are other artists that, you know, I'm like, I'm just gonna throw them money because I want to support them, like, you know, as much, and I have nothing, but you know, try to support other gay artists and stuff. Yeah,
that's right. So how about a central website or Facebook? Where do you have?
I have a fan page on Facebook under Kendall Kelly. My Facebook is public, so anyone can go in and see what's going on.
Okay.
Just go to Kendall Kelly. ClothesGetInTheWay.com is also a place where you can go, since that was the name of the last show. But I probably will keep that for a while and will continue in some capacity doing that show or something.
All right, awesome. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Kendall. Are you going to play one of the songs?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Do you have any ideas about which one, or did you guys listen to any of them?
Actually, I like the ones towards the end. Did I get a look at those?
Really? That's surprising.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. For me, I like 1943 and Depression Rules the best.
The 1943 was, when I was listening to it, yeah, it's a different side of you. That's the way I looked at it. And then, of course, the eclecticness of it. Going to the middle, you have some rap, and then you went to the space age and everything else. Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Well, thank you very
appreciate
much.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Medicine. Jesus, medicine for my. There can be no reason that you can't belong to a world that soothes you, to a world that cares. Hands on the ground, soul in the air. We're living in the space age now.
Thank you.
of the burning factories are painting in the air. A picture of a heaven clear to me, a breath out there.
Thank you, Kendall, for being in the show.
Yeah, thanks, Kendall. Thanks for visiting. Now that you're living in Austin, hopefully we will see you more.
Yes.
And if you run into any people up there that are homesteading, let us know.
Yeah.
Because you get to meet some of the hippies around
Austin. Oh, that's right. There's lots of hippies there. Yeah.
Because I think
who knows? Kendall might be a hippie after all this, after some time.
Kendall, I don't see you being a hippie. No. Artist, maybe. Hippie, no.
No, okay. So. Yeah, good luck in Austin. For your new homestead.
And your new
which is Austin, who's now living in Austin. Okay, so yeah, thank you again, Kendall. All right, let's go
to entertainment.
Entertainment.
Okay,
yes.
We got a big list this week, so I'm gonna try to get through this pretty fast. According to the Yahoo Movie Guys, here's the top 20 list of must see movies that are coming out for the fall. So I'm broken it down. We're doing 10 this week and 10 next week. So we're going from 20 to 11 this week. Mm-hmm. So number 20 on the list is Selma, which will be released on December the 25th. Oh, Christmas Day movie. So.
Is it Selma Hayek?
No, Selma. In lieu of a cover-to-cover biopic of a civil rights leader, Martin Luther King Jr., the Brad Pitt Oprah finance drama Selma zeroes in on the historic Selma to Montgomery marches that paved the way for President Lyndon B. Johnson to sign in the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Mm-hmm. So that's number 20 on the list. Okay. Did you take 19?
Let's alternate. So next one is Big Hero 6. It's going to be on November 7th. So the scoop is Disney plumbed the depths of Marvel's vault to strike gold with Rocket and Groot, of course, yeah. From Guardians of the Galaxy. Next, the Mouse House digs down even... Disney, Mouse House.
Yeah.
Digs down even deeper in the comic book basement of this for this animated feature about a genius kid, inventor, hero. It's Ryan Potter. And his tricked-out robo-balloon, Buddy Baymax. Scott adds it.
Yeah, and these are people that play the voice roles in the cartoon.
Yeah,
so.
Yes, okay.
Next number 18 on the list is Saint Vincent. Release date is October 24th. This stars one of your favorite actors, Bill Murray.
He's my favorite.
I thought you liked Bill Murray.
No.
Oh, I thought you were a big fan of Bill Murray.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Not so much. Maybe
but anyway,
Mike.
It's Bill Murray, Melissa McCarthy, and Naomi Watts. The scoop: while his divorce from mom, Melissa McCarthy, grapples with a new job, a shy kid gets a crash course on living life to the fullest, courtesy of the kooky old guy next door, Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm. So. I mean, he's okay. I mean, he did well in Lost in Translation. He's pretty good. I think he was either nominated or won an award.
I think he won an Oscar for it.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I can't remember. So.
So next is The Interview. It's also on December 25th. So it stars James Franco, Seth Rogen, and Lizzie Kaplan.
Well, I know
Kaplan.
You like Seth Rogen.
Yes, I probably watched this because, you know the duo is there, James Franco and Seth Rogen. And seeing Seth Rogen, he's in the eyes. He's a bear. Okay, so here. So could this be the first Hollywood movie to lead to a world war? Exactly. We were reading about this some time ago. North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un has already declared his provocative comedy an act of war. As the plot follows a pair of tabloid media hacks, Seth Rogen and James Franco, recruited by the CIA to assassinate the young leader. God, this is horrible. This scares me a lot too, but because, you know, it could spark World War III or something.
Yes.
I don't know. Just making this film. Imagine that, you know how they do it also with the, if you do portray Allah in a movie, that could also spark a lot of hate.
Yeah.
Also, so
Yeah, I don't think that either one of the three of them need to be playing any religious leaders or governing heads of body for the foreseeable future.
I wonder how they got away with this.
Anyway, they did it, so it's coming out.
Okay.
All right, number 16, The Equalizer. Did you remember? Did you watch the show back in the 80s?
I remember The Equalizer with Edward Woodward. And I don't know, for some time, it was kind of a polar bear to me. He was kind of a bearish guy, I remember. But
then got a little wood over that.
Yeah. And I remember the music was scored by Stewart Copeland from The Police. And it was around when The Police broke up, I think. And then they all went separate ways, and Stewart Copeland made the music for Equalizer. I can remember that. So. That was it. But anyway, yeah, Equalizer.
Well, they're putting a new spin on it, starring Denzel Washington, Martin Kukoskis, and Chloe Grace Moretz. Is that how you say your name?
Chloe Grace Moretz.
Moretz. The Scoop. The vintage 80 action series is dusted off for a complete reimagining that takes start. Denzel Washington as a supposedly average working class guy whose placid demeanor hides some very deadly skills, which he uses to help a teenage girl in need.
I want to watch this.
I think it looks like a good reimagining. It looks like more action. And I think Denzel Washington said that age now where he's like older.
Yeah, that's
getting ready to retire.
That's actually the point of The Equalizer. Like, he's kind of older guy.
Retired. Yeah. He was retired Secret Service or CIA or whatever he was. And
yeah. Well, he's black, but Equalizer's white. He's British too.
Well, it's updating it. I mean,
Yeah, it's updated now.
Everybody can't be white.
Not everyone.
Why are you so racist? Yeah.
How come they can't have an Asian Equalizer? Why not?
Well, I thought you already had one. I thought that was Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan. He's an Equalizer? I don't think so. Okay, of course, the next one, the big one. Of course, everybody's going to watch this. It's going to be on December 17th. It's The Hobbit, the Battle of the Five Armies. So, when last we saw our intrepid band of treasure-hunting little folk, they were facing cliffhangers galore. Will Smaug lay waste to Lake Town? Will Thorin reclaim that throne under the mountain? Will Gandalf escape the orky clutches of the necromancer? Will Bilbo make it back again? Will Peter Jackson stop after one ending this time around? I sure hope so. He's going to stop. So readers of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit already know the answers to most of the big questions, but we have high hopes that Jackson delivers the goods for his final cinematic spin around Middle Earth. So I do remember listening to the audiobooks of the whole of Hobbit. I can't remember it anymore. I can't remember it anymore. I only remember the part where he got the ring and everything, where Bilbo got the ring. But
Bilbo lives, right?
No, he has to because it's a prequel.
That's right. Okay. So as long as you remember, that's all you need to know.
Yeah. I was about to say, spoiler alert.
Bilbo dies. If you haven't read the books, then I'm so sorry. You have had a much, much, much jilted life. So, anyway, number 14, Unbroken, release date December 20, another Christmas Day movie, starring Jack O'Connell, Domhnall Gleeson, and Jai Courtney. The Scoop, Angelina Jolie's second directorial effort is a biopic of Olympic track star turned World War II POW Louis Zamperini, a man who some have dubbed a real-life Forrest Gump, though this is a far darker story. After competing in the Berlin Olympics, which brought him face-to-face with Adolf Hitler in 1936, Zamperini joined the Army Air Corps and his plane malfunctions and crashed into the sea in 1943. Through his family, he was told he was dead. He had actually been rescued by the Japanese and then suffered as a POW until the end of the war.
Oh, I remember the
And there have been several movies made about his life, but this is more of one based on a book written by somebody else. So. But there has been other movies made about him. So
it's like a Forrest Gump, only darker. So yeah. It's like life's like a box of chocolates to eat when you die.
Just stop. Go on to the next one.
I can't speak Southern. Can you can do that, right?
Mama always said life's like a box full of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get until you bite into one.
You sure sound a very good, good Forrest Gump.
13 matter.
Okay, sorry. 13. I love the accent, Ray. Mr. Turner on December 19th. So, reuniting for the first time in more than a decade, revered British director Mike Leigh Secrets and Lies. And character actor Timothy Spall proved that biopics that don't have to feel like homework in this vivid, lived-in portrait of early 19th century British painter J.M.W. Turner. The movie won raves, as well as a Best Actor Award for Spall at this year's Cannes Film Festival. And the pair will continue to travel the festival circuit this fall, with the pre-release stops in Toronto and New York. I don't know if I'm going to watch this. It doesn't sound interesting.
Well, it doesn't sound interesting, but I think once you see the guy in it, you might like it. He's kind of a bearish guy.
Oh, really? I'll watch it now.
Okay. But it looked like it might be interesting because I cut some of this stuff down for content. So, number 12, Fury, release date October 17th, starring Brad Pitt, Shia LaBeouf, I'm Going to Cry and Get Arrested, and Logan Lerman. Brad Pitt plays War Daddy, commander of a Sherman tank crew.
Oh,
and this has got LaBeouf, Lehman, Michael Pierre, and John Berthenol from Walking Dead, tasked with an against all odds mission toward the end of World War II.
Okay.
And if you've been to any movie in the last 2 months, they've like plastered this preview before it almost.
Yeah, I've seen it, and it's pretty interesting.
It's not the Marvel Fury. So
you know, I would almost watch every Brad Pitt movie for some reason. I don't know why.
I've always liked Brad Pitt. He keeps getting screwed over for Oscars, and I don't understand it.
So it's also going to have Michael Peña. He's kind of thuggish looking Hispanic guy, and Mike likes that. Yeah, so Mike and I might watch it, so we'll see.
Well, I got it because it's got John Berthenol in it.
Oh, you want?
Yes.
Oh, John Berthenol. Berthenol,
yeah.
Okay, so.
And the last one for this week is number 11, and this has nothing to do with Marvel.
Yes. Nightcrawler on October 31st. Oh, Halloween. So, Nightcrawler, yeah, he's right. Ray's right. It's not anything about Marvel. Nightcrawler.
Not that Nightcrawler.
So it stars Jake Gyllenhaal. Oh, he's the Nightcrawler. Bill Paxton. Or maybe he's the Nightcrawler. And Renee Russo. She's not the Nightcrawler. Okay, so Jake Gyllenhaal lost roughly 20 pounds to play. He's doing the Matthew McConaughey. And, you lose weight so you could fit the part.
Yeah.
Or who else? Christian Bale did the same thing, right?
Yes.
Okay. So he lost roughly 20 pounds to play, as he called his character, a literally and figuratively hungry freelance crime journalist who prowls Los Angeles in the wee hours, rushing to get footage of all manner of disasters and crimes, be they fires or murders. So it's going to be interesting. I would watch this.
It looks like it's going to be one of those dark drama things. So we'll see. But anyway, the top 10 will be on next week's show. We'll pull them and have them ready to go for you then. So stay tuned for the top 10 next week.
Now it's time for the gay, the geek, and the bizarre. Okay, so I guess I'll take the gay.
Take the gay
because this is the article that I found. It's really interesting.
Because we're going to have some discussion afterwards. You read this.
Oh, we will discuss this. Okay. So young gay blogger, gay men over 30 should stay out of the clubs.
That's what I tell them bitches all the time. Only young guys like us should be in there.
That's right. But you're not 30. Okay, so
I'm
a blog.
30. I'm 29.
Right. A blog post from late last week has been making the rounds on social media and igniting a firestorm of comments in its wake. Titled Gay Men and the Curse of the Peter Pan Syndrome. I'll probably use this as a title. I like the Peter Pan Syndrome. So the editorial post posted to gayguys.com by writer Dalton Heinrich asserts that gay men are absolutely horrible when it comes to growing up. Because of this, Heinrich prescribes gay men 30 and up one simple task: stay out of gay bars and clubs. So, since the beginning of his social existence, a large portion of his friends had been older than himself, And he had always just assumed that he was mature for his age, when in actuality, he thinks that most of the gay men are associated with he has associated with had never mentally passed the age of 25. So from boyfriends to just friends to acquaintances to people he would repeatedly bump into at gay bars, a large portion of them were at a dead end when it came to maturing. So what do you think, Ray?
I concur.
You concur? You see, if you're over 30, you should stay home?
Well, let's put it this way. After a certain time, there's more to life than just a bar.
That's true.
So, but I read the whole article, and I encourage everybody to read the whole article because he does make some good points. You and I both have been in the ripcord, and there are men in there that do not have true dark hair.
They use just for
there's gaze? No way they're that old and have solid dark hair like that, so they dye their hair.
So jet black hair.
Jet black hair.
Yeah. Just like me. Just for gaze. Okay.
Just for gaze, exactly.
We're using just for gaze.
And I walk around and I look at them, and sometimes I kind of feel sad because I'm like, why are y'all trying to be something you're not? I mean, I understand it. Gay culture is all very youth, young, masculine, hot-bodied men focused.
Mm-hmm.
Been that way since Aristotle.
Is Aristotle gay? I think he was.
They were. Because the whole thing was him was having sex with all of his students. We're all young men.
He was philosophizing. Yeah, he was fucking them. Okay.
So, I mean, I think it's always been that. And even with straight men, I think it's that whole pursuit of younger women. You know, the younger, the prettier, you know. The ego boost that you get from it, I think that has a lot to do with it. And personally, from my experience, from the last 5 years when I were dating the 18 to 18 and a half year olds, yeah. It is a kind of an ego boost, but it's also like, oh my God, what are we going? They can't talk about anything. You can't have a discussion with them.
Let's go to the next bar. But it's 11:30.
That's right. It's time to go home. But I do. Some of the things there are, and you and I both have friends that we love dearly that have not grown up past the age of 25 years old, okay. And you know that.
Uh huh. But then.
But you know, that's their life and that's their choice. But now my response to this young guy that wrote this: you have to look. A lot of us that are in the age group that we are now, that's all we had growing up.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have Growler. We didn't have the internet. So we either went to bathhouses or we went to gay bars to meet other gay people.
Yeah.
And for a majority of us, that's what it was. And that's the kind of mindset that we got molded into, that if you want to meet people and go out and hook up, and just if you have to go to bars. Where now, I mean, we got apps. I mean, you don't even have to leave the damn house anymore. It's like
online
catering.
Mm-hmm. So... to me, I feel this. I can't say that you shouldn't be in the bars because there are times when you do want to go to the bars because in the bear group here in Houston, do you think there's a lot of them below 30? Not really.
So
there are many who are over 30, and some of them would celebrate at a bar or go to the bar because we do have bar nights.
Yeah.
So what about that?
Well, but here's the deal. I think, but you and I both know. I mean, I used to have a boyfriend that was younger than me, and we went to the bars every freaking weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Knew everybody's name in the damn bar. Same people every weekend out of the bar.
And the bartender knows you.
And the bartender knows your name. You don't even have to order your drink. You walk in, he sits down in front of you and takes your credit card and starts your tab. It was a done deal.
Mm-hmm. I never reached that point. But I used to go to the bars a lot. Mm-hmm.
I think to a certain extent, some people don't get out of that mindset. They're like, oh, got to be in a bar.
I know.
You know, got to have my hair did just right, you know.
Dress up. Got to dress up.
Well, some people, yeah. But I think it's different from like bears and twinks and stuff. But, you know, some people, but you also got to look at that. For a lot of people in our age group, that was the only gay socializing we really got.
Yeah, that's true.
Up until, I guess, the last 10 years, majority of the nation couldn't be out at work.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't talk about your gay lifestyle, you know, couldn't talk about living with your partner. I mean, it happened, but it was rare. Now it's more common. I mean, yeah, now everybody's coming out in high school.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's a lot of mentality about that. But yes, I do have to agree there are some gay men that can't get past 25. But I think that's men in general that have that boyish thing. And that's why men and women usually work better together, because I think women can put up with dealing with kids more than other two men can put up with dealing with two kids. So, but I think it has a lot lifestyle, what you make of it. So,
mm-hmm. So let's ask the audience, do you have the Peter Pan syndrome? It's interesting. I like the way they call it. You just don't want to grow up.
Just don't want to grow up.
Yeah.
Do you have the Peter Pan syndrome? Or are you just like dating Peter Pans? Do you just want to date the whole entire Lost Boy tribe? Is that what you're trying to do?
Okay.
I can kind of say I tried that at one time. It didn't work out too well.
Okay.
So
let's go to the geek
room. The geek. Okay. For all of you old people that shouldn't be in the bars, here's something you can do. Because some of the stuff I didn't even realize you could do. Some of it I've used. But 10 awesome Google features you should be using. So I'm not a big fan of Chrome, but I do like Google search features. So here's some cool things. If you're not used them, you can check them out. We're going to take a look at 10. We're in all about 10s tonight. We're on a roll here. Mm-hmm. So first is Google Flight Search. Need to find the best price on a flight? Google Flight Search is one of the easiest price comparison sites around. Pick your start point and destination or destinations on the map, and then you pick your dates. When you pick the dates, be sure to pay attention to the prices on each date and Google's graph of the days when it shows the cheapest tickets.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
Have you ever used Google Flight?
How do you search?
I think you have to go to Google Flight Search. I think its own app.
I guess you type Google Flight Search and then yeah.
So
next one is,
this is one for you and Mike. Or you better, more like Mike.
Maybe. Atari Breakout. Yeah, I remember playing this if you search it. So need a quick break, you'll experience the classic Atari Breakout game on your computer whenever you want. Simply go to image search page and type Atari Breakout. Then, you'll be able to play. I guess it's an Easter egg. If you really type it on the images, this would be a game. I played it before, I remember. It's pretty cool.
All right, next is Google Public Data Explorer. Google's normal search site is great for most searches, but Google has more specialized searches as well. For example, the Google Public Data Explorer is a treasure chest full of information on public statistics. So if you're writing those papers about statistics, go to the Google Public Data page and type in a topic. Keep your searches simple, like unemployment in the U.S. Google will return results from sources like the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. You will end up with an easy-to-read graph, and you can even tweak it with options like gender, age, and state. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for some statistics and stuff.
Like how many people are in your city? Something like that.
Yeah. How many gays are in Houston?
Yeah, that can be measurable. Okay, this is exactly what I use. Google Translation.
So I use this actually.
Use this too? So let me just read it really quick. So you need a quick translation, go to the normal Google search page and type in translate word to language in the search bar. For instance, you can type translate apple to French. Google will let you know in less than a second that Palm is French for apple. It also includes a small speaker icon that will let you hear the word if you aren't sure how to pronounce it. For longer translations, check out Google Translate. So what I do is I go to translate.google.com, and then you'll be able to, there are tabs there where you type in the English word and it will translate it to you. Or the other way around, if it's in a different language, if it's Spanish, if you're chatting with someone in Spanish-speaking countries, you type the you copy and paste it on your Google Translate and translate English.
How do you say power bottom in Spanish, Maynard?
I do not know.
Oh, right.
But in Filipino, it would be, how do you translate it? Kantutin sa puwet. Uh-huh. Actually, that literally means fuck in the ass. Yeah. Okay, so I use this. Why? Because I am one of the translators of Where the Bears Are Season 3. I've been translating since Season 1 and also Season 2. I translated it. And now I'm doing Where the Bears Are Season 3, and I'm one of the translators for Filipino, so English to Filipino. So I'm translating the...
I'll be glad when you can get like a Google Translations or an app that does that. So like if I'm watching a foreign film, it either translates and puts the words in English for me, mm-hmm. or it translates and speaks it in English for me. Because there are a lot of videos and cool movies that are on YouTube that are foreign made, that are not in English, that I would love to watch. There are a bunch in Filipino that are out there, but there are no English subtitles or anything. And there's a lot of movies that are made in Spanish that have Spanish subtitles, but no English subtitles. But I'd be glad when they come up with that.
Okay.
Next is Google Nutrition Comparison Search. What's healthy, an orange or a banana? Type in compare into Google search bar along with the foods you want to look at, such as compare broccoli and asparagus, and Google will do the rest. So that's pretty cool that you can compare nutritional value of stuff.
How about lube? Compare water-based and silicone.
Do you
I don't know. There's a nutritional.
You'll have problem. To try it on your screen and record it so we can see what happens. We can display it next
okay,
week.
Okay,
so.
We'll do that.
Right. Oh, that's right. Sorry.
Okay, next. Google definitions. I actually use this. So what you do is you type define remuneration. You type it. And then that's what I do. Do you translate that way too?
Well, I don't actually use it. Define words like that. I figure out how to spell them that way. I'll type them in what I think it's supposed to be spelled, and Google will pull up something, and they'll say, "Do you mean?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, that's what I mean. That's how it's supposed to be spelled."
Yeah, it's very helpful. So yeah, you can really type "define this" or "define that." It will give you a translation. Oh, you get the link to a translation.
Yeah, next is Google conversions. Whether you're cooking or helping your child with math homework, which is hard these days, odds are you're going to have to convert units of measurement on the Google search page and a search like convert 8 ounces to cups or convert 10 kilometers to milliliters. If you have your
answer. To miles.
To miles. Oh, 10 kilometers. Oh, sorry.
10 kilometers to miles. It's hard to read.
You will have your answer instantly. You can even tweak the numbers and units after the fact. So there's a good way to do conversions, which actually helps, especially if you do. I cook a good little bit, and sometimes you'll get stuff that says, you know, 2 pints or something. I'm like, well, how many cups is that?
Convert inches to AOL inches.
What's Craigslist? Compare natural to Craigslist.
Craigslist inches.
4 inches on real life means 8 inches on Craigslist.
So. I'm debating now what would be the title of the show now. Compare. Anyway, so next is Google Ngrams. It is a great research tool that lets you search how many times specific words occur in more than 5 million books written between 1800 and the present. You can see how words get more or less popular over time. You can put in multiple words separated by commas to compare two or more words at once. Google lets you adjust the time period. Language of the books and see what books contain the words. It's interesting. I mean, sometimes if you want to Google your name, probably, but of course it should be appearing in books. Or how about, let's say, some theory of evolution theory, or maybe gravity or something like that. You can search how many times from 1800. True. What other words can you use?
Well, maybe like somebody's name, you know, like how names progress. Like Billy was a name back in the 60s and 70s. Where now, and then in the 90s when we came along, it became Dylan and Brandon and all that stuff based on popular culture to see how the names change.
So. Ngrams, letter N, grams.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Next is Google Sky. And I actually used to have this app on my phone, and I don't know if I still have it or not. But I remember going down to Galveston and at night standing out on one of the breaks out there with my phone up in the sky, and it was looking, taking a picture through the phone, and then it was showing me the constellations as I moved it around, because I know what some of them are, but I don't know all of them. But you could sit there and kind of take your phone and move it, and as you moved your phone along the night sky, you could see the constellations show up on the phone, and then you could look at them in the sky. So that Google Sky is great.
I haven't tried it before.
It's basically letting you look at the sky. So Google Sky is, I think, where they keep finding the stuff on the moon, all the alien stuff on the moon.
Oh, so. Nice. Okay, so I guess last for now is exclude search terms. I use this a lot. If I want to exclude certain terms, like I'm looking for something on for an application, for example, I would say Open Office. I would say Open Office Windows, and then my list would show Windows, Linux, Macintosh, or OS X. You know, so what I do is I filter it with the minus Linux, so it would give me a result without that word. So it helps a lot to drill down. So have you tried it before?
No.
You've never tried to exclude?
Well, maybe I need to figure out how to do it, because I do a lot of searches just looking for stuff. Writing my story, I have to go like, okay, is that right? I'm talking about something. I kind of think that's right. Do I? And I Google it. Maybe I can put like.
Yeah, you can exclude terms. Like, for example, if you're looking for chairs, if you type chairs and you'll see a result which contains chairs and tables. But I don't want tables. So what you do is chairs minus tables. And it would show you everything about chairs. It would exclude anything that says anything about tables. There's no mix. You can do it multiple times also. So chairs dash, if you want chairs, tables, you can do remove tables, chairs minus tables minus window minus door.
Yeah.
So all your results would only show just chairs. You know, yeah. That's
so like if I did a search on the image side and put like hot gay models minus Justin Bieber, so it would keep
me. Yes, exactly. That's the perfect use of it. That's right.
Okay,
let's go to the bizarre.
Okay.
This is mine.
What do you mean it's yours?
This is mine.
Okay, you can do the bizarre then.
Because I love it. Oh my god, I'm just I haven't read this, but I just read the title and I'm already laughing. So bizarre. Size does matter, says judge, who orders man's penis to be measured after he claimed it was too small for him to be guilty of exhibitionism.
Sounds like a Dave man.
It's a Dave man. Oh, that's a Dave man. An alleged flasher has come with a novel defense. This is defense. His dick is too small because, his manhood is too small for anyone to notice it. The 54-year-old man, identified only as Herbert O., was accused of showing a teenage girl rather more than the package he was delivering in August 2013. The night the girl and her mother went to the police to file a complaint against the man from Lier, Lower Saxony, Germany. Oh, it's Germany. Mm-hmm. Wait a second. Germans are pretty hung, aren't they? I should ask Julia, right?
Mm-hmm. He said that, Julia. Just remember he said that.
However, Herbert has claimed that he is too under-endowed to have flashed the girl and has been even asked his wife to stand up in court and testify his lack of inches. I'm sorry, darling, but your penis is too short to hang out of your trousers, she told the local court in the town of Lier in East Frisia. Defense lawyer Lutz Winkler then requested the judge Ulrich Andres to measure the organ herself to verify the claims. So they have a ruler. So they asked the guard, get me a ruler, I'm going to measure this guy's dick.
No.
At court. That's what they did. Exactly what they did. So, the judge Andres has asked the coroner's office in Oldenburg to measure Mr. O's organ. So he did measure
it. You know why they asked the coroner to do it?
Why?
In case he was a stiff!
Oh my god, man, that is so bad. If the wife has spoken out so frankly about this, I have to follow it up, she said. Herr Winkler is determined to see his client cleared and has refused to settle for a fine in exchange for settling the case. They may yet have months to wait to see if the expert medical opinion stands up in court. We've never seen anything like this before, court manager Norbert Brunt says. So it's interesting. Oh my god. So
apparently he flashed this girl.
But
this teenage girl.
He flashed the girl, but then
delivering a package. She got more packages than what she wanted. And he's saying his package was too small to be delivered.
Yeah.
And his wife says it's too small to be
seen. That is so insulting. It's so small. It's so insulting. Yeah. I'm gonna report you to the police.
That's right.
That's what happened.
Probably.
But if it was big, other things would have happened, don't you think?
Don't know.
We'll never know.
Never know.
Never know. Shit, my phone. Thanks a lot, Google.
And we just praise you.
We're just praising you for what you did.
Well, we're saying
just rebooted by itself.
Well, we're saying the Google search feature. We're not talking about the Google appliances.
No, I have to wait.
You have to wait. Anyway, I'll go into birthdays. I'll talk about some birthdays here. Birthdays this week. Joe, wherever you at in California, my friend, happy birthday. Mm-hmm. He actually posted today, he said, I got to rent a rental car for 2 months. What's the best way to pay for it? And you know what my response was?
What?
With somebody else's credit card.
Yes,
definitely. As long as it ain't mine, it's good, brother. So, happy birthday to Cho. Happy birthday to Terry L., Rob K., Paul D. Young. Make sure you take care of your man for his birthday. Carlos De Leon up in Chicago, our big buddy up there. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday. And if you big boys like real nice young man up in Chicago. Go hit up Carlos if he already hadn't hit you up. So
yeah,
David H, Travis M, and Yuki T, who is Yuki, have you made it to the U.S. yet? I can't remember if you're in graduate school in New York yet or not. But
yeah,
last time I talked to you, you're supposed to be heading here soon. So,
and last one is Joe
Mama.
Joe, my friend Joe from Alabaster, Alabama. So, yeah, I saw him last time at the pool party, the one you missed. You missed it. One of the pool parties you missed. So, yeah. Hi, Joe. Happy birthday. Okay, so I guess that's it. That's it for the show. That's a long show. Yeah. So, yeah, I hope you also enjoyed the interview with Kendall.
Yeah, Kendall.
Yeah, thank you again, Kendall. And
I gets better.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He was kind of limping. Yeah. He can't dance. He can't do twerking too much.
Yeah, he can't. Well, he can probably twerk.
He can twerk.
He just probably couldn't twirl.
Oh, okay. It's good to see you again, Kendall.
I think you're just playing easy. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got a hurt foot. I can't run.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so that's it, everyone, for watching or listening. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Also, don't forget about if you know somebody that is homesteading or living off the grid that would like to talk about it on the show, you can give them show@bearpodcast, the email that Manor just gave us, or have them give us a call. If you'd like to call, leave us a voice message to play on the show or just say, ha! Please call us at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR.
Yes. Also, subscribe via iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube. Also, you can listen to the show on Stitcher Radio and what else? Bear Radio Network. Yes. And if you want to follow us, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter and go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear.
But that homeless guy she picked up was cute as hell, even though he does have a criminal arrest record. But, you know. Are you used to flying with mosquitoes?
Oh,
yet?
My God. This is fucking welcome insane. To Texas. Is it like this all over Texas?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, boy.
So, oh, yeah. You're fresh meat from New York up north, so they'll love your blood.
Oh, my God.
You are fresh meat.
Is there anything to, like, that you do to make you not get
off?
Top 2014 fall
movies.
Movies.